Chapter 44, Paul Wins Converts in Caesar's Palace. The gospel has ever achieved its greatest success among the humbler classes. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. It could not be expected that Paul, a poor, friendless prisoner, would be able to gain the attention of the wealthy classes of Roman citizens. Vice held them willing captives. But many among the toil-worn, want-stricken victims of their oppression, even poor slaves, gladly listened to Paul, and in Christ found hope and peace. The apostle's work began with the lowly, but its influence extended until it reached the palace of the emperor. Rome was the metropolis of the world. The haughty Caesars were giving laws to nearly every nation on earth. King and courtier were either ignorant of the humble Nazarene or regarded him with hatred and derision. And yet in less than 2 years the gospel found its way into the imperial halls. "The word of God is not bound," said Paul. In former years the apostle had publicly proclaimed the faith of Christ with winning power before the sages of Greece, before kings and governors. Haughty rulers trembled as if already beholding the terrors of the day of God. Now the apostle, confined to his own dwelling, was able to proclaim the truth to those only who sought him there. Yet at this very time, when its chief advocate was cut off from public labor, a great victory was won for the gospel. From the household of the king, members were added to the church. In the Roman court, Nero seemed to have obliterated from his soul the last trace of the divine, and even of the human. His courtiers, in general, were of the same character, fierce, debased, and corrupt. Yet even in Nero's household, trophies of the cross were won. From the vile attendants of the viler king were gained converts who became sons of God, Christians not ashamed of their faith. Paul's afflictions do not hinder the gospel. By what means was a footing gained for Christianity where it seemed impossible? Paul ascribed to his imprisonment his success in winning converts from Nero's household. He assured the Philippians, "I want you to know, brethren, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." RSV. When the Christian churches first learned that Paul was to visit Rome, they looked forward to a triumph of the gospel in that city. Might not this champion of the faith succeed in winning souls even in the metropolis of the world? But Paul had gone to Rome as a prisoner. How great their disappointment! Human expectations had failed, but not the purpose of God. As a captive, Paul broke from many souls the bonds that held them in the slavery of sin. His cheerfulness during his long, unjust imprisonment, his courage and faith, were a continual sermon. By his example, Christians were impelled to greater energy as advocates of the cause, and when his usefulness seemed cut off, then it was that he gathered sheaves for Christ in fields from which he seemed wholly excluded. Before the close of 2 years' imprisonment, Paul was able to say, "My bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, and in all other places." Among those who sent greetings to the Philippians, he mentions "they that are of Caesar's household." The Christian who manifests patience under bereavement and suffering, who meets even death with the calmness of an unwavering faith, may accomplish for the gospel more than he could have by a long life of faithful labor. Often the mysterious providence which our short-sighted vision would lament is designed by God to accomplish a work that otherwise would never be done. Christ's true witnesses are never laid aside. In health and sickness, in life and death, God uses them still. When through Satan's malice the servants of Christ have been persecuted, when they have been cast into prison or dragged to the scaffold, it was that truth might gain a greater triumph. Souls hitherto in doubt were convinced of the faith of Christ and took their stand for Him. From the ashes of martyrs has sprung a harvest for God. The apostle might have argued that it would be vain to call to repentance and faith in Christ the servants of Nero, surrounded by formidable hindrances. Even should they be convinced of the truth, how could they render obedience? But in faith Paul presented the gospel to these souls, and some decided to obey at any cost. They would accept the light, and trust God to help them let it shine forth to others. After their conversion they remained in Caesar's household. They did not feel at liberty to abandon their post of duty because their surroundings were no longer congenial. The truth had found them there, and there they remained, testifying to the transforming power of the new faith. No circumstances an excuse for not witnessing for Christ. Consider the disciples in Caesar's household, the depravity of the emperor, the profligacy of the court. Yet they maintain their fidelity. Because of obstacles that seem insurmountable, the Christian may seek to excuse himself from obeying the truth as it is in Jesus, but no excuse will bear investigation. If he could do this, he would prove God unjust in that he had made, for his children, conditions of salvation with which they could not comply. Difficulties will be powerless to hinder him who seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In the strength gained by prayer and study of the Word, he will seek virtue and forsake vice. Help and grace sufficient for every circumstance are promised by him whose word is truth. In his care we may rest safely, saying, "I will trust in thee." By his own example the Savior has shown that the Christian may stand uncontaminated in any surroundings. Not in freedom from trial, but in the midst of it, is Christian character developed. Rebuffs and opposition lead the follower of Christ to more earnest prayer to the mighty Helper. Severe trial develops patience, fortitude, and a deep trust in God. The Christian faith enables its follower to suffer and be strong, to submit, and thus to conquer, to be killed all the day long, and yet to live, to bear the cross, and thus to win the crown of glory.